Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another in our ongoing special updates on the search for Hayley Cummings. Joining me from Gainesville, Florida, is the News and Programming Director for WSKY 97.3, TJ Hart. TJ, it is always a pleasure to talk to you.
Good afternoon, Simon. I think we're going to be having a rather interesting day today, to be quite certain.
Right, and we're not talking about the snow and blizzards.
No, we are definitely not doing that. That is for sure. We are talking about the Hayley Cummings case and the little bit of a drug case that has been running parallel to it, and it is. It's been a little eye-opening. It's been sobering. When you actually take a look at the personalities who are involved in perhaps both of these cases, I think a lot has come to light here, and I get the feeling that we may be coming to a resolution on both cases very, very soon.
The past few days have once again been very busy. I know both you and I have been burning the midnight oil.
Our loved ones have no idea why we look the way we look today.
There you go. Let's start with your visit to the PCSO. You managed to get a sneak peek at the Hayley Command Center, and I believe you were the first press person to actually get to see this Holy of Holies.
Well, I think other press people have seen the jail, but there are a few things that I got to see that I'm not so sure everybody got to see. I can't speak for everyone else, but I will tell you that this jail in St. Johns County, first of all, the complex is beautifully laid out. Whoever put together their judicial and governmental complexes there in St. Johns County ought to be commended. If you can't find something, it's your own dang fault. The courthouses and things of the adjudication process are on the left-hand side of the thoroughfare that runs between it, and the sheriff's office and the detention facilities are pretty much on the right hand. I will tell you that the sheriff's office is state-of-the-art, as far as I am concerned, and I've seen a good deal many of these. As a citizen, not as an inmate, but I will tell you that the facility where Tommy and Misty are being held is pretty darn new looking. It's divided out into pods, it appears, and what you will find are probably some hallways where you have these spherical pods where the inmates are being held in their individual cells. Very thick walls, very tiny windows, and let's put it this way, unless you got the papers that are letting you out, you ain't getting out. That thing's tight. That is one of the tightest ones I think I've seen in recent memory. And it doesn't look like a clean place, but with a fine menu, I might add. But it doesn't look like a fun place.
So, I can imagine. You also managed to interview Sheriff Hardy, did you not?
Yes, I did. Sheriff Hardy. This was a tough interview, and I'll tell you why. Sheriff Hardy is a guy who will make statements to the press when they're needed. I don't think it's necessarily his most favorite thing to do as sheriff, but as the person who is in command and control of the Putnam County Sheriff's Office and the jail, he does do it. Now, what he did in this interview told me a couple of things. One, that he's become accessible when it comes to the Hayley case, but only to a degree. But the fact that he was open to it signals to me some optimism. I ask him about the Hayley case, and he says, "You do know that this is an ongoing investigation. I wish I could tell you more, but it's an ongoing investigation." I ask him about Ronald Cummings. Now, normally he would have stopped it right there. But I ask a follow-up question, and he answered it. He said that Ron is in solitary confinement. Ron, as everyone knows listening to this program, is the father of the missing now 6-year-old Hayley Cummings, who disappeared about a year ago from her father's home while being watched by Misty Crosland. and now in on drug charges, drug trafficking charges. Misty, of course, being held still in St. John's with her brother Tommy. Donna Brock and Hope Sykes is in Putnam, so is Ron. Then the Putnam County Jail, Sheriff Hardy said, look, he's in solitary. There are some people in that area, but all he has in there is a single cell. It's very tight with a cot and a toilet, basically a cot and a pot, and that's it. But he does have some daylight, and he does have some opportunities to perhaps stretch his legs a little bit more than what he had when he was over there in Flagler County. And you and I were listening to some audio tapes from his telephone calls where he's trying to put his grandmother at ease by basically, saying it's not so bad. I can play cards a little bit with the guy across the way. We can see each other, la, la, la. And I wear, he talked about his underwear situation. And I don't know if that was out of nerves or just trying to calm Mrs. Sykes down. But this is not a good sign. Watch
right.
What you say, Sonny. There's snitches in jail. I saw all those prison movies in the 40s as well. And God love her. Maybe that's all she could think of was his basic safety. I don't know. But getting back to the St. John's County jail, I met with Sergeant Chuck Mulligan. He's the fellow who's been taking care of putting out all of the video and audio materials from the jail. Now, I spent a good deal of time with him yesterday. Very nice man, but I tell you what, a lot of demands. He had no idea just how overburdening this would be on their small sheriff's department to try to get all of these media materials out. And the reason why Sky and BNN and, of course, our friends at Channel 4 in Jacksonville have been able to get these is the simple fact that it's just a short drive from Jacksonville to St. Augustine. For me, it's 75 miles there, 75 miles back, but it's drivable, and we were able to pick up our materials pretty much firsthand. Yesterday, we were first. We beat everybody, I think, by a good hour or two. But as far as the video was concerned, News Jax 4 beat everyone because they were there. I mean, they were there waiting for it. And we had a little bit of a waiting see thing there as well, too. They don't have the equipment that's big enough to hold the volumes of audio and video that the media is requesting, but they are working their butts off to get it processed. And they do have some challenges. One of the operators who takes care of the media has been sick and can only work 4 hours a day. And that really is kind of made this rather slow. We got an email that as of 11:07 that the audio files from all of Tommy Crosland's calls have been processed. We're trying to send a courier over there. I can't make it for obvious reasons, and we're trying to get this put up, and if not, we will do some back channeling and, of course, proper attribution and credit to News Jax 4, for whom we've shared in the past and linked a lot of our things with them in the past too. They're very good neighbors and we really enjoy the partnership that we have with them. So one way or another, sometime today we will have the Hank audio up, and we also have the Misty stuff up too, and we're going to break that down for everybody a little bit later today as well. I'm also reporting, the rumor mill is very full right now, and many people are saying that there was a special hearing that was held earlier this week that allegedly, and I am going to say the word allegedly, okay, because what I'm doing is I'm attempting to address what is being said and to be factually honest and to be factually correct. So folks, the word allegedly means a lot. That means until I have facts that this is only something that may or may not have taken place, but the word is that there was a hearing that allegedly involved Crystal Sheffield, Ronald Cummings on Monday, as it regards to the son, Junior, and allegedly it was brought up in this situation that there were issues involving a failed drug test, maybe two. But they, I'm not going to go any further than that because we don't know, and I don't want to point any fingers at anybody and be accused of being malicious because that's just not going to work for anybody's health and well-being. I have put out some requests to Crystal's family for verification since this was a DCF hearing, Department of Children and Families hearing. There are no records. I cannot factually give you any hard copy evidence to back up any claims that support or deny these allegations. So it is out there as only a rumor, and I will do everything in my power to make sure that the truth is out and not have the void filled with perhaps maybe some non-factual material. So we're working on that, and hopefully we'll get everything situated on that real soon.
Going back to Sheriff Hardy for a moment,
but
by the sounds of it, his temperament is fairly upbeat. You know, here we are, what, 4 days before the one-year anniversary of Haley going missing. But everything I'm hearing seems to indicate that there's a great deal of optimism at the moment.
Yes, you can only go by actions and not words, because as far as words are concerned, you're not hearing many. You're hearing that the jail's overcrowded. You're hearing that there are problems with inmates to prisoner ratios. You're hearing about a need for expansion of the jail. But here's another thing that happened. A room where a lot of the brain team, the brain trust in the search for Haley takes place that involves an FDLE officer and also some officers with the Putnam County Sheriff's Office was opened to the press, limited, I would say, earlier this week, the Haley Room, as they call it. And their pictures were afforded to us, and not too close because, you know, you don't want to really see too much of what's going on, because it might compromise the case. And I'm talking about a timeline that is featured on both the bloggernews.net website and the sky973.com. You're also going to see some folders that are a box of folders that are plumb full, and those are just the interviews with Misty. So you know, a little eye-opening how many times she's actually spoken and how long those conversations have taken place. Also, some of the other binders you see are CDs, audio CDs, and those are the recordings of the interviews with anybody and everybody. The other files include anything from, you know, forensic information to psychics and to other tips. So they felt comfortable enough opening that up at this point, which to me, you know, and believe me, it's a leap of faith, indicates that they may be close to a resolution in this. Sheriff Hardy's comment to me when I ask, are we looking for a live child still or perhaps a dead one? He said, well, and it all depends on what your state of mind is when you read the words, because when you read the words, you can infer any kind of emotion you want. And this is where I really wish we could have used the tape recording device, but it was asked that we not. And I will tell you now, it's a good thing that we didn't, because there were some things that were set off the record that I will not be able to release until a later date. And God knows mistakes happen, and you can't, in this situation, afford that. He said, well, wouldn't you want us to find a live child like that? Instead of, wouldn't you want us to find a live child? He said, well, wouldn't you want us to find a live child? To which I said, oh, yes, indeed, I would. He said, we would too, but we're also very, you know, braced for the very real possibility that that might not be the case. They're you know, ready for that news too, as is the family. But and that's all the further he would go on that. But that in the opening of the Haley Room, that's the really the most open this has been since about the first 10 days of the investigation.
I have to admit that when you shipped me copies of the photographs, it took me less than half a nanosecond to get them into my fairly advanced photo enhancement software. But nah, they had done a good job of you know, making sure that, yeah, couldn't quite make out what that timeline said.
Yeah, it's true, and there was a reason for that, and we also got the compressed pictures as well, so that that wouldn't happen, that we couldn't use anything from Wazoo, Gazoo, Yazoo, or Whoozawatsas to get that enhanced in any way, shape, or form. They know what they're doing. I mean, a lot of people, because of their frustration with not hearing anything, often have some derogatory things to say about law enforcement. But it's not like you're watching TV and it's done in 53 minutes after the commercials are cut out, you know?
Right. with the folks behind bars, the Florida Sunshine Laws have kicked in, at least on one side of the story, the drug trafficking.
Yes.
And definitely the big news was Thursday's release of those jailhouse tapes. The call I got, or I found humorous, if you will,
yeah,
was definitely Ron's call to Annette Sykes. I mean, there's no mention of Haley, but there's a huge amount of discussion about how many pairs of boxer shorts he has.
Mm-hmm. Well, sometimes when you, I don't know what leads to that, other than I'm thinking that, you know, you got a guy who's probably up to his eyeballs in a hell of a lot of trouble, and he doesn't want his poor grandmother worrying about him. So, you know, if he's going to gripe, he's going to gripe about his underwear. That's about the only thing I could figure that where that came into play. There's a common thread, and you touched on that, is that in each and every one of these phone calls, whether it's Tommy actually stepped out a little bit. He actually acted like he was kind of concerned about some other family members in his telephone call with Lindsay. But Misty, Ronald, those phone calls that we have so far, it's all about I, me, my, and how comfortable am I, and it's all about me, and when can I get out of here, and it's all about me. Ron did try to put Mrs. Sykes at ease a little bit. He stepped back a little bit. But Misty, dear God in heaven, that woman is frantic. And when I told you a couple weeks ago that she wasn't doing good behind bars, I hope everybody now, when they see the video and they hear the audio, understand, unequivocally, I was telling the truth.
Oh, there is no
question.
She's
not doing good at all.
I mean, she whines about, oh, I'm hungry, and, you know, can you send me money? Can you overnight it?
I don't care about your house bill going unpaid there, Grandma. I need out of jail. No regard, no respect for anyone else. And it appears that the behavior might be based in the use of the opioids, the hydrocodone, the oxycodone, that the fix or the taking of the pill, getting the next feel-good, is so much more important and weighing so much on her mind right now that nothing else matters. And that's what happens when a person becomes addicted to a substance. Nothing else does matter. Ask a drunk. They don't care. They don't care if they got a roof to house them at night. They don't care if they got any place to go to the bathroom. They'll use the bushes. Give me that money so I can get a drink. And it becomes the fascination, the occupation, and the single sole focus of a person's being, and that's where she is right now. And if she's going through some kind of a detoxification, I understand that she's been prescribed Zoloft and something else that was in one of the tapes as well. That might be only there to keep her sane as she's trying to detox from the other stuff. But you can tell in these phone calls she's frantic. She talks so dang gone fast. Now, the tapes that we give you folks, that's real speed. That's the stuff we got from the jail. Now, I'm going to consider slowing those things down because we are getting complaints that they're inaudible, but I didn't want anybody to think that BNN or the Sky973.com was doctoring anything for any kind of an effect to present some kind of bias. So I want to make sure that that is out on the table before I try to slow the speed of those audio files.
I want to get to those audio files, but before we do, I just saw this question come in.
Okay.
Do you know if they seized any of the vehicles from Ron or the others after the arrests?
No, not particularly. I don't know that they seized them. I'm sure that they were checked through for evidence. I know that there's a couple of people, a couple of bloggers online who seem to be fascinated or just it's a burning desire to see that truck be someplace. And I don't know why. I don't know what the big burning desire is, other than it's a nice truck. But I believe that a lot of the things that have been on their person or they were found with have probably been searched, but I do not know of any seizure of that truck at this point in time. I can't answer that factually.
Okay, so what have you got for us audio-wise?
I'm going to play this thing with Misty because I'm going to tell you folks, again, it's going to be a little bit on the hard side to listen to, but you're going to hear a very frantic young woman, and she's going to ask about her bail. First of all, she doesn't know what her bail is. Her brother Tommy, Bubba, in this case, is trying to explain a few things to her. She can't do math. Well, isn't the 10% just $10,000? No. So we've got that coming up. And also, it sounds to me like she's ready to talk. Please listen.
They're working on it right now, but
they're working on it.
I think the order's working on getting you out.
Do you know how long?
Huh?
Do you know how long?
No, yes, I don't.
Do you have income tax?
Even with my income tax, I still can't get you out. You're at $1 million. Why don't you ask that?
$10,500.
Yeah.
Cobra's going to get me out.
She mentions Cobra here.
And Cobra's trying to do it, and the lawyer's trying to do it right now.
So when is Cobra going to come get me out?
I don't know. I'm just hearing this from fucking your lawyer, and who told you about Cobra?
Well, my lawyer said that he said that I'm the TJ.
He said that he's $5,000 short from getting you out.
I don't talk about family, please get me out of here.
I'm trying, honey. I hate seeing you in there, but there's no one that's going to give us fucking $5,000 like that. I know. Don't worry, man. You got to keep your head up, Misty. You got to stay strong, sis. They ain't going to get you in there. You're not going to be in there forever. I mean, there's a possible that you can end up doing a couple years, though.
Could you put money on there so I can tell you guys now?
Yeah, you can call me. I put money on there so you can call me.
Okay.
And then whenever it runs out, I'll figure a way to.
Did you ever get a hold of the truck to get a hold of Cobra?
Who?
Cobra.
Who?
The truck to get a hold of Cobra.
No, we haven't got a hold of Cobra, but fucking, I forget who we heard from Lindsay, the girl that she used to go to school with in the white, granddad, or white car, mm-hmm. her, Jennifer, fucking, she's a.
I'm also going to go now to another one, which is number three, which I do believe is the one, and I apologize for this, folks. I thought we had that one, but that one also talks to us about how much she doesn't know what's going on as far as her bond amount is concerned, and also trying to funnel in some information from what she's getting in from, the Sky and from BNN about Cobra being that conduit to an alleged group in Las Vegas who is trying to bail her out. I'm going to try to get into this next call here real quick.
Hang up now for information.
And of course, you get the friendly, here is your collect call from prison.
1-800-729-8355.
And we're going to try to get past that here.
Visit our website at www.paytel.com. Thank you for using Paytel Communications. You may begin speaking now.
Hey, sis, how are you doing?
Nothing. But 11 o'clock is locked down.
Huh?
11 o'clock is locked down. I mean, I'm locked down all day, anyways. But I get to come out a couple times a day.
Yeah.
Are you going to have minutes on here tomorrow, fucking car?
And then I'm having a technical hang up here, but this was the one that had the aspect of I know something. I know something. And then he goes, what? She goes, I don't know anything. You know something? I don't know anything. And it could go two ways, Simon. One is that she does know something and she wants to bring it out and, you know, get it off her conscience, or she's so consumed with her addiction right now, she'll tell him anything.
Okay, I want to explore an avenue.
Okay.
Cobra gets mentioned a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I called Bill last night to see how he was doing, and his comment when I brought up the subject of Misty's phone call was, I worked too effing hard to get her behind bars. Why the F would I want her out?
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much, yeah, he said that to me last night, too. And then he just went quiet on it. I think he was really trying to distance himself from what he calls a misunderstanding. But, man, and it's... He just said, look, I offered to be a conduit here. I thought I knew the press, and then the next thing you know, it's me trying to get her out, and I'm not trying to get her out. I worked too damn hard to get her in. And I am going to give the guy props where props are due. He did do the questioning and try to set up a reenactment of the night that that happened. There have been a lot of people who've reported on it. We did. Another journalist did the same thing as well. He did the groundwork on that aspect and brought to light that drugs were a big part of it. Now, I will tell you that when I was doing the Nancy Grace show early on this, I saw the arrest records and the fact that the charges had been dropped a lot of times in the case with Ronald Cummings. And I was told that we're not going to go there right yet. We're not going to go there early on. We're going to focus on the missing child. There have been no convictions. There have only been arrests and charges dismissed. We're not going to, that was the word from the network on that. Geraldo Rivera comes into town, gets a trespass warning issued to him. He was in people's faces going, you're a dope dealer. You're on drugs right now. You're stoned. And he was really in the guy's face. And it was horrible the way he did it. But I think he knew that a lot of people were staying away from the arrest record because there were no convictions. And it was, you know, pretty much common practice with all of the journalists at that time to focus on the child and not the sideshows. And then the sideshows took on a life of their own. So, you know, interesting.
Uh-oh, you've gone quiet.
No, I'm here.
Oh. Now... The other sideshow, if you will, that has cropped up is our good friend Leonard Padilla.
Oh, God. I got a call as Leonard was getting ready to go on Nancy Grace last night. It was probably about 7:30 Eastern time. I'm driving my beautiful granddaughter from volleyball practice to ballet lessons. The kid never sleeps. Don't know where she gets that. But I get this call from a secretary claiming to be from Leonard Padilla's office. And the secretary said, Leonard has a question he'd like to have answered. Are the Croslands, have they been evicted from their home? And I said, I don't know that to be true. I think there's some moving that's taking place, but I don't know if eviction is quite the word. And she said, well, he would like to know if you can find out whether or not they have been evicted and what it would cost to get them back into housing. And he is interested in paying that. So I said, well, you know, I'm taking my kid to dancing lessons, and I'll get back with you tomorrow. Well, I didn't wait till tomorrow. I waited till I dropped the little one off. She doesn't need to be hearing, you know, these conversations. The whole aspect of Haley missing really bothers her a great deal, because that's a little girl who's just in the next county who can't be found. It's very troubling to her. So once she was dropped off to dancing lessons, I called the number that dialed me, and I got an answering machine, and I said, you know, respectfully, thanks for reaching out to me, but, you know, I think you might want to go through Misty's lawyer on this one and not me. I prefer to, you know, keep my objectivity and report on the story and not be a part of the story. I hope you understand that. I feel a great deal of compassion for anyone who's about to lose their home, and it's always a nice thing when others can help when they have the means. But thanks again for the outreach, but I prefer that you try perhaps going through the lawyer. And I said, thank you, and I hung up. So then I see Mr. Padilla on Nancy Grace at the second show, and he was talking somewhat about the possibility of assisting Misty Croslin, but I didn't quite get to hear his entire comments. But the fact that someone is thinking about bailing a young lady out at a time where it appears she's going to crack and say something, I find it unusual.
Well, yes, and yet you and I both know that Padilla has been talking about this basically since the time that the whole group got arrested.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we opted...
came out with the Cobra thing, too, yeah.
Right. I mean, we opted not to publish it because it sounded dumb. It sounds dumb now.
It does. I mean, I can't fathom... Yeah, it didn't work the other time around.
Ah, but this time is different.
Explain.
He said that on Nancy.
That I heard. That's when I got up and walked away. I did. At that point, my ears didn't want to hear it. So I believe it or not, as a news guy, I just said, you know, like an old man, and got up and, you know, decided to walk the dog. So please enlighten me. How is this different?
I have no clue. And, you know, he was asked that question. And... He basically went into, you know, Padilla waffle mode. It isn't different. It's exactly the same. He's not going to get anything out of Misty that the police aren't going to get out of her, especially
uh-huh.
now that they have her behind bars.
Yeah. Well, right now, you know, I agree with so many people that behind bars is... really where she needs to be right now. And I get the feeling, you know, Tommy's outraged. But after, you know, speaking with the young man early in the ongoing here, seeing how he's talking on the tapes, he knows a few things, but for the most part, you know, he might really be the dimmest bulb in the bunch. You know, God love him. But Misty, on the other hand, is very manipulative. She tries to use her tears, bat her eyes, use her attributes to the best of her ability in order to get what she wants. And so far, she has been very successful in getting away with virtually anything she's ever attempted. And all she has to do is put the pouty pout on, and somebody's there to her rescue. Well, I'm sorry. She's facing 74 years in prison, or 70-some-odd years in prison at this pace if these charges stick.
Right.
Even more,
and
into the hundreds of years.
Right, and this doesn't even include anything involving Haley.
No. And all she can think about is, I got to get out of here right now for my immediate sanity and for my creature comfort.
The comment that really caught my attention was the fact that she wanted money for food. And,
take a look at the diet she wanted to eat.
Right, and the deal was, well, we're expecting our tax return tomorrow. We'll send you $100. Can you overnight it?
Yeah, and it's all about her. I mean my. And I'm sorry, but that George Harrison song from the Beatles' Wyatt album is just going through my head every time I listen to these people. Me, my. You know, and it just escapes me how folks can be so single-focused. on this. And I realize, you know, it's not happening to me. I really don't know what goes on in a person's mind. But, I mean, dear God in heaven, you screw up. You screw up. I mean, it's not fun being punished, but you know pretty much before you go in that it was a real possibility you could wind up there. So, you know, it's crazy. It's just absolutely crazy. And the more I listen to these audio tapes, the more of an insight I get into the lack of depth of these people's souls. And if that sounds harsh, I don't care. But maybe this is what drugs do to people. This is what people are like before they do drugs. I don't know if it's a chicken or an egg situation there, Simon.
The bond amounts got increased on Misty and Ron, I believe.
Yes, Misty's up to $1.35 million, and Ron is now at $900,000 at last check, unless something has happened in the last 45 minutes.
There's been a couple of remarks made in the, and I'll use the term loosely, press, that the additional charges came as a result of the jailhouse phone calls.
Where they said, oh, yeah, I mean, here they are, they're burying their souls about the drugs, like it's a walk in the park, like it's no big deal, just drugs. It's like, oh, okay. And then that's why you're hearing Dad say, shut up, don't talk. And Timmy, don't talk, you're being recorded, huh? What? 8 counts? What? Huh? It's like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't be, you know, I'm only laughing because it's out of nerves, and I shouldn't be picking on folks, but my heavens, it's awfully frustrating to watch.
Oh, it's horrible to watch, and, you know, this, when I look at Misty, I do see shades of Casey Anthony. I mean, these are two peas out of the same pod.
I was told by perhaps as many as 3 investigators off the record, investigators who are investigating this case, that these two cases might not be as far apart as one would think, and they would not go any further. They would not go any further. This was, I want to say, July, August, when this came out. They said these might not be so different after all. People might think that it's apples and oranges, but they said it might not be. They did not say it was, but all 3 of them at different times within a 2-week period said it might be. And they all said, and I am not going to comment on this case in particular, because it may jeopardize an ongoing investigation, and you know the routine. We are not going to talk about this case right now. And then they shut up, and I didn't hear from those folks for, oh, geez, six weeks, at least until the Mondex was drained. And then they had to talk. Some of them did. Not all of them. I think only one of them talked after that.
I've got a question that is coming in, and I just can't resist it.
Okay.
Let's talk exclusives. Someone wants to know why Art Harris put ArtHarris.com watermarks over the pictures that were released.
That I don't know, and I'm not going to make any accusations because, as you know, some of the pictures that we got, both your site and my site, some of the pictures were actually taken by an officer because you don't want to get too close to their timeline. So I never, ever, ever made any accusation that anyone took anything of my property, your property, or anybody else's property. But when someone says exclusive, we had some fun with that. What is an exclusive these days? What constitutes an exclusive? It's something that no one else has. I'm sorry, but BNN and thesky973.com, and MyFox out of Jacksonville pretty much had the same thing the same day, a little earlier perhaps. So I know that we had ours up in tandem, I believe, earlier than anyone else, but yet we don't use that word exclusive too often unless it's tongue-in-cheek. We've used it, but I've used it tongue-in-cheek because I know it's meaningless anymore in this day of instant news. Also, I think Fox out of Jacksonville did theirs later in the day, and there was another person that came out about the similar time that we did. You know, if somebody's going to go watermarking photos that were taken by someone else, that's their business. I was asked if I wanted money for those photos. You know what? Some of those photos I didn't take, Simon. I'm not going to sell those damn photos. CNN offered me money, and it was open-ended. How much do you want for these? Okay, Joe Average saying, payday. He's thinking, this will take care of that nice little expense that I incurred for the holidays. No. I said, simply credit where you got them. Just say that you got these from WSKY-FM Gainesville, Ocala, every time it's used. And I said, no money will need to change hands, only the understanding that you credit us every time you use those in print or on TV or on the Internet. That was it. They went through standards and practice and everything, and they go, really? Yes, that's all that's necessary. You know why? Because it's not fair to charge people for stuff that that's a combination of things that you might have taken and other people have taken. You know, I'm not here to cut a profit off this. I'm not here to make myself rich off this. And you know what? My radio station, it's far more important to us that we have our call letters out there so that people might try us or signal to us. As far as money is concerned, bull roar. Absolute bull roar. So I don't care what other people do with theirs. I'm just telling you what we did with ours. I'm not gonna point any fingers at anybody or say anything derogatory about anybody. But the word exclusive, I think sometimes it's been used so many times and so loosely that it may have lost its sizzle or its original meaning. It's been diluted a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's lost its impact for sure. I mean, CNN is one of the very few organizations that will come out and publicly say that they do not pay for interviews.
No, they do not.
Right, but, you know, the gray area here is use of photographs. I believe the same thing happened in the Anthony case. I don't think it was CNN. In fact, I'm sure it wasn't. I think it might have been Fox. Who paid $100,000 to use some photos, you know, and the interview, though, was completely free.
Yeah, there are arrangements that are made like that, and the thing is you know, why do that? I mean, really, why do that? I mean, I know why, because, you know, some people, you have to pay to be good. Then there are folks like you and me, Simon, who are absolutely good for nothing. I mean.
I'm a damn good
actor. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to include you on that. but the thing is with CNN, no, they don't pay for their interviews. If you're asked to be on there, it's your decision as to whether or not you're going to accept or decline. Now, I will tell you that in most cases, they would provide transportation so that you could get to a studio that could get the signal up in space and beam it back to Atlanta or New York. That way, you're not being put out, so they're covering you for your transportation costs. But now, since the economy has gone badly, that's one of the reasons why you're not seeing my image live talking to you. I'm usually on telephone on the cable networks, whether it's Fox or Headline News or CNN these days, is because, you know, it's a little expensive to get the transportation for somebody. And if you're not near a camera, they put you on Skype if you have Skype and a webcam, or you do it over the phone. And we're in the process of creating a studio in my house right now so that I can go live via Skype, and it would look very professional. It's taking a lot of doing with the folks in my house, because that is our beach room. Certain decor in there. It looks like you're basically at Jimmy Buffett's place. And sticking up a great big WSKY banner in the back where the camera can see it from time to time is causing a little consternation with those who use it. So we're going to work on the lighting, and we're going to work on getting something that looks professional before we unveil it and go back to the networks and say, yeah, here you go. You don't have to worry about driving me to Orlando or Jacksonville to get a camera, because the folks here in Gainesville are so upset with our radio station scooping them that they will not allow me to sit in their anchor chair and do a telebeam. That's what has happened. That art fella, we hate that son of a bitch. Hey, when's your contract up? You know, yeah, sorry. Sorry about that.
Okay. Do you see yet more delightful offerings coming out?
It's Friday, and ironically, it's either Wednesday or Friday that stupid stuff happens in regards to these folks. I'm waiting for the Hank Crosland calls to be delivered here one way or another, and if not, back-channeled or linked from our friends at Channel 4 in Jacksonville. And also next week, I've already been given the heads-up from Sergeant Mulligan over at St. John's County. The Donna Brock conversations are the one I'm really interested in.
Oh, you, me, both.
But I'm telling you, Simon, they are so voluminous. It might be Tuesday, Wednesday before they're all done. And that's the one, because everybody wants to know, you know, what's the deal with this woman? What? How in the heck did she get involved at this level? I thought her involvement was done a long time ago. So the mystery woman and some of these phone calls are going to be released. I think we're going to get some video on this. I can't bank on it, but I do know the audio portion of the phone calls are set to be done on Monday or Tuesday, pending you know, some difficulties. Now, the reason it's been so long, and these were taken, these were done a week, 10 days ago, some of these audio files that you're hearing. And the reason it's taking so long is, one, they got a challenge there technologically at St. John's, and also they have a person who's doing it who's restricted due to health conditions and is not fully able to put in full days yet. And their best prayers and best wishes to that person. But also, every time they get one in, they have to send a copy back to Putnam County with flags in it to see if that needs to be redacted, because some of these things that we're getting, there's some cuts in there. And there are reasons for those cuts. That can't be sunshine, because they're part of the investigation. Most of these are 15-minute to 30-minute phone calls, and you're only getting 12, 7, 8 minutes. It's what we're not hearing that's got me scratching my head. Because, you know, you're hearing stuff like, I know something, but I don't know something, but I know something, and if I tell them something, maybe they'll let me out of here. And then all of a sudden, that's one of the shorter phone calls. It's what we're not hearing. And it's understood that that's part of the case, both cases, I should say.
Oh, indeed. I mean, I would never expect the police to reveal their entire hand until, you know, they have that full house or royal flush.
Mm-hmm.
But they do seem to be getting closer.
Yeah, they do. I mean, why would you open the Haley room? Why would the sheriff talk to a guy who potentially has off and on been a bit painful for the department to deal with? You know, I, being a local guy, I'm not just waiting for the press release like the rest of the press around here is content to do. I have a tendency to rather go head first into a brick wall instead of finding ways around it or over it. And sometimes that can be that can hurt some feelings, and I realize that, and we've had to work on our relationships. I know that I've aggravated some at the sheriff's office. I don't know about Sheriff Hardy. He didn't mention anything to me about being agitated with me, but I do know that some of the folks in the middle and upper echelon are greatly upset, especially with the draining of the story about the draining of the pond at Mondex and the jailhouse letter, both of them, that were intercepted from Nene Pravat. Also, something that, you know, I will tell you that I may have goofed up a bit, and I know now, I didn't know at the time, but I know now that I really torqued off Lieutenant Greenwood when I followed Cobra Stobbs in the revocation of bond for Nene Pravat, videotaped that, and videotaped her going into the Sally porch where the chains came down, and watched her being taken in for the revocation of bond. I asked for him, and I asked him for a comment, and he was hot. He was hot at the situation, and I think he was hot at me. It sure looked that way. I'm thinking, what did I do?
Would that have been so upsetting for him?
Because the way we painted the tape, the way we promoted it, was that someone is being brought into custody who may or may not have been involved in the Haley Cummings disappearance. And because may or may not have been involved or may not have been a person of interest, people only hear what they want to hear, kind of like the word allegedly kind of falls silently, if that's what you want to believe. So we even had trained journalists predisposed to believe that they had an arrest of the whodunit. And he had to deal with media calls all over the place. All we were doing is we used the social networking, the Twitter and Facebook and the Internet, and it caught on like wildfire. So all these other folks took our tease for the story, which was may or may not, as the gospel. And they know better than that. But, you know, you're the first person that's seen after you've been royally, the other person's been royally teed off, they're going to have some words. And I got to tell you, he kept his cool. He kept his cool, but I could tell, brother, I think I really upset the man, and I hope we patched up our fences.
You mean, you know, he was holding on to his gun, but it was still in the holster.
He was biting his lip. He was being very professional, but you could tell that I had really upset the man, and I'm really sorry about that.
I guess in many ways, you know, the press and law enforcement have a kind of love-hate relationship. We want the news. They want the publicity sometimes, but not always. It's a tough road that we go down.
Yeah, it is. It's one of those things where they want us and need us to get information out, but it's prickly when they're working their hardest to try to solve a case, and they're catching flack where they might perceive it's not necessarily needed or warranted, and it might have been spawned by rumor, or might have been spawned by this, that, or the other. But you got to ask the questions, and I'll tell you what, for the most part, you know, you get what you ask for. If you come in, you know, raising all kinds of holy hell, you're probably going to get some resistance. If, you know, you politely ask for some information, guess what? You usually get it, or you will get the answer that they have to give you, which is we cannot comment on an ongoing investigation at this time, and you have to accept that.
I mean, it would be inappropriate to name names, but I have found that the best way to deal with PCSO is not annoy them. I have on occasions fired off an email, and that they have always politely responded.
Oh, same here. Same here. You know, I always get an answer these days, and I will tell you that they do work well with the media. It's just that when there's nothing to be said, I mean, how many times? I'm putting myself in their shoes. How many times can you say we can't comment on an ongoing investigation at this time? You know, and how can you say it? You know, without having a form letter. And I understand their frustration too. And the thing is, am I upset with him? No, heck no. They got a job to do. You know, one way or another, I'm going to get my story. But the thing is, they hold the facts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's got to be your starting place. And you can ask questions on your own fact-finding mission, and it's up to them whether they can or cannot give you any answers. But the thing is, they're going to do everything in their power to make sure that the truth gets out. They don't need a PR mess. They don't need a PR mess. And it's not in their best interest to tell you something that might not be true.
I found the key is to ask a specific question. You know, just sending an email saying, okay, who done it?
Yeah. You're going to wait a while on that one.
Yeah, right.
If you say, quick question, please. Is there any truth to what I'm hearing regarding a road rage event that allegedly took place? And be as concise as you have to be. And believe it or not, bang, you'll get your answer within 10 minutes.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I mean, that's how fast Lieutenant Greenwood is.
Mm-hmm. I have never had any problem with them, but I also understand that one of these days they're probably not going to reply to me because they've got 300 messages in their inbox from people saying, okay, who did it?
It's one of those things where they do have to deal with a lot of us, and most of us, know our manners, and most of us know where the line is, and sometimes when somebody crosses it, there has to be a reset button hit, and then it's like, okay, here we go. So it's one of those things where, they're going to let out what needs to be let out under the circumstances, and people have to understand that, press and non-press alike. I'm not saying that they are the Holy Grail. I'm not saying that they end-all, be-all, but they are what they are.
And I honestly do believe that they are doing a very, very good job.
Mm-hmm. I do, too. I think that where the frustration comes in is that this thing is a year long, and in lieu of any answers that anybody can find, they're a bunch of Keystone Cops, they're a bunch of complete incompetence, la la la, and people fill in the blanks with their anger and their rage, and their biases. And you know what? That's human nature. I'm not saying it's a good thing, and I'm not going to make a judgment on it, but that's what people do.
How much time have you spent going over the audio tapes that were released?
Not nearly enough. It seems like about the time I get going really good in them, I have to deal with other issues. What people don't know is that this is not the only story I follow. This is not the only thing I do. I am the director of news and programming for a very big 50,000-watt radio station in Gainesville, Ocala, Florida. And it's the most powerful news talk station in the heart of Florida, as we call it. So I have to make sure that I'm scrutinizing and evaluating and trying to up the game of our content, both with the talk and with the news that we produce as a whole. And then I go and take on the Haley Cummings case as best I can. I do have other reporters here. I have two others who also double as anchors. So we're very limited. We're a very small staff here. But I think that we do a pretty darn good job for the hand that's been dealt us. So although some folks will say, well, why weren't you on top of that? I heard this. I heard that. I'm like, oh, my other nine jobs. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to blow up. I'll be right back at you. And you do the best you can. But really what we're doing.
The reason I ask the question is that on at least one of the Misty tapes,
mm-hmm.
there is a name that's mentioned, Talos.
Yes!
And just before we went on air, Jan received an email or something, and it was from someone wondering if it might be a Johnny Ray talent, and that there was a link to the booking deal, but we've been unable to make it work. Is it a name that you've heard before?
I've heard it but I've not been able to verify the entire name. It seems like your crew has. Please enlighten us.
Well, we actually don't have much information other than he has been bonded out. His bond was set at $900, which definitely means that, you know, he's small fish. But it might be worth poking around to find out who this guy is.
Well, I tell you what, by Sunday, I think we shall.
Okay, let's do that. And alas, our time is up for this program. TJ, any parting thoughts?
Let's wait to see what the next batch of phone calls brings us. I'm waiting to hear what Hank Crosland says, minus the redactions, and then on to next week with Donna Brock.
Oh, I can't wait for Donna. There's one person, though, that we've heard nothing about. Hope Sykes.
Mm-hmm. And wouldn't it be ironic if she played a bigger role in both cases than what's being presented? But I think at this stage of the game, she bears our she warrants our attention, but I don't think she warrants our entire focus.
Okay, let's wrap this show up. TJ, I want to really thank you for taking time out to talk with me today, and I know you don't want me to do this, but I'll do it anyway. I want to share with our listeners, it is TJ's birthday tomorrow. He's going to be 50 years old.
And every grumpy year of it.
So, you know, send TJ a happy birthday email, and if you happen to have any old boxer shorts laying around, you can always send them to Ronald Cummings to fix his shortage in jail.
Be well, Simon.
And you. I'll talk to you on Sunday.
Great.
Okay, bye.